WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
May I have your attention, please? Attention, please! I can deal with your troubled friends with a wave of my hand, this very hand. Please observe me if you will. I'm Professor Harold Hill, and I'm here to organize a River City Boys band. Oh, think my friends, how could any...
That's Craig Bierko, the star of the Broadway revival of The Music Man. The cast recording has just been released. My guests are Bierko and Rebecca Luker, who plays Marion, the town librarian. The Music Man first opened on Broadway in 1957. It's set in 1912 in the small town of River City, Iowa. It's the story of a traveling salesman and con man who makes his living by selling small towns on the idea of creating a boys' band, a band that will keep the kids occupied and out of trouble. After promising to lead the band and teach the boys to play, he sells the townspeople instruments and band uniforms. But as soon as they've paid, he slips out of town before they can find out he can neither read music nor play an instrument. Things don't go as planned in River City because he falls in love with the idealistic but tough-minded town librarian Marion. Luker, who plays Marion, also starred in the recent revivals of The Sound of Music and Showboat. Craig Bierko co-starred in the films The Long Kiss Goodnight and The 13th Floor. The Music Man is Bierko's Broadway debut.
76 trombones led the big parade with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones caught the morning sun with 110 cornets right behind. There were more than 1,000 reeds springing up like weeds. There were horns of every shape and kind. There were copper bottoms.
Craig Bierko, Rebecca Luker, welcome to Fresh Air.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Now, The Music Man is a musical that lots of schools and camps do, in part because there's kids in it. What were the first productions you ever saw of it? Rebecca, let's start with you.
I never have seen a production of The Music Man. I was in one in college, and I was in another first year in New York when I first moved to New York. I've only seen the movie. So that's my history.
And do you like
the show?
Do you like the movie?
Very much. Very, very much.
And Craig, what about you?
I watched my brother perform the role of Harold Hill in Mrs. Gober's fifth grade night of music at the Ridge Street School. And my father painted all the sets, and I was in the third grade, and I sat, my jaw dropped because, you know, they did the entire play.
Wow.
At, you know, what is it? What are you, 10 years old in the fifth grade?
Yeah.
I'm 35, and it's hard.
it's hard to remember those words
yeah.
when you're 35.
Now, how does it seem different to you now than it did when you were in third grade?
Everybody on stage seems much bigger. it's amazing. It's one of those special musicals that just retains its brilliance. I don't know that I truly understood what was going on. You know, in the third grade, let's be honest, I was probably running up and down the aisles being a nuisance. But I remember being very impressed by my brother memorizing all those lines and speaking so fast. But I do remember how catchy the music was. And from that point on in my life, I listened to the record and now the CD over and over and over and over again.
So you knew the Robert Preston version pretty well before you started.
Who doesn't? I mean, there really wasn't any other version. There was the Scott Bierko version, but it was not released on CD. You could only hear that in our shower.
Well, that puts you in the awkward position since you had it so ingrained in your mind of doing a role that you already knew somebody else's performance of.
So yeah, I had to get Scott Bierko's voice out of my head before I attempted this. But that's been a problem all my life.
Right. So, Scott. How did you deal with the ghost of Robert Preston when you were trying to find the Craig Bierko performance?
Well, I dealt with that during the audition process when it became clear to me that Susan Stroman et al. Were interested in me and they were seriously interested in me. That was the very first question I asked myself. I had never done theater in New York before. I knew that people had a tendency not to be kind when they disliked something or somebody. And, you know, the situation was ripe for them to come after me Were they displeased? And this could be something that, you know, I have a similar vocal timbre that Robert Preston has. And I also happen to think that his take on the role was correct. I didn't see an awful lot to improve on. So I knew that people would hear similarities. I sort of dealt with that during the audition process and said, if that's what they hear, that's fine. I happen to think that if you're portraying a role convincingly, you have to embody that role, or it will come off as sort of a pale, kind of rich little copycat type of imitation. And I don't feel that that's what I'm doing. I feel that I have worked hard on this performance, and I do feel that it is mine. But I also feel that it is something that I share with Robert Preston, who left an incredible impression on me.
Now, I want to play your version of You Got Trouble. But before I do, I'm wondering, what's the score like for this? Like in the sheet music, it's a song that I've only heard like half spoken, half sung, as you do it and as Robert Preston did.
Yeah.
Are there notes for the parts that are even more or less spoken?
Well, it's funny. You look at Rebecca's music and the notes are all the hell all over the place. You know, the notes are off the sheet music on somebody's forehead. I mean, her range is incredible. And for most of my stuff, it is singing. It's something Meredith Willson was very consciously trying to do. It's more rhythmic. It's the rhythm of a sales pitch. So they're just, instead of notes, there's a lot of X's that sort of denote just a time signature. But I don't have as much singing. It's essentially, vocally, I've been saying it's kind of like shouting at a Knicks game for 3 hours.
Why don't we hear You Got Trouble? This is Craig Bierko from the new cast recording of The Music Man.
Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate a horse sense with a cool head and a keen eye. Do you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? Well, just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a balk-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. Say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper hear him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on a horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch. Make your blood boil? Well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got one, two, three, four, five, six pockets on a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering, frittering away their noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled at the screen door patched or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with the cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you've got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker shirt tail young ones peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble. Folks right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm gonna be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They'll be trying out Bebo, trying out Cubans, trying out tailor-mades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're gonna cover up a telltale breath with sense. And one fine night, they leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory. Libertine men and scarlet women and ragtime. Chainless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of the jungle, animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble.
Oh, we got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Well, that was Craig Bierko from the new cast recording of The Music Man. Craig, did you sing much before getting into this particular musical?
No, I did musical comedy a lot in college, and in high school I did quite a bit. I went to Northwestern and studied acting, and I did some musical theater there. And then I went to Los Angeles basically to concentrate on television and film. And there's just not much of a theatrical community out there. It doesn't thrive in Los Angeles, unfortunately.
Rebecca Luker, in the part of Marion, the librarian, you have, as Craig pointed out, songs with what seems to me, anyways, to be a really big range. That starts off in the bottom of your speaking range and ends up on really high notes, but you have a voice that's very well equipped to do that. This was probably not even a stretch for you.
Oh, how to comment on that? Well, I guess the range is right in my voice, I have to say. I've done this role twice before, and, you know, the range is, I guess it is a big range. It goes up to A flat and then starts pretty low. But I try to keep it all sort of in the same, you know, register and try to make it sound like I'm speaking more than singing. And it has been hard. It's been hard. It's a lot of work and a lot of songs, and it did take a lot of rehearsal and a lot of discipline to make it, you know, sound. If it sounds easy, that's just because we rehearsed a lot, you know, worked hard on it.
Let me play something with you, Rebecca Luker, singing on the cast recording of The Music Man. And I thought we'd go with a ballad that is not that famous. It's called My White Knight. It's a really lovely song. Has, I think, quite a big range. You do start off as if you're speaking and then soar.
Yeah, this one has a big range.
Yeah, yes. Say something about the song. It's too bad this one isn't as well known.
Well, it is. It's not that well known. Probably one reason is that in the movie they interpolate the Meredith Wilson's version into the, you know, into the song. In the middle of the song, you hear My White Knight as we do it in the show, and it's surrounded by another song called Being in Love, which I'm not even sure if Meredith Wilson wrote that. Someone else wrote it, I think. And maybe Lesser wrote it. But it's one of my favorite songs now, and hopefully when people see the show, they come away feeling that way about it. Like, oh, I never knew it was, you know, a good song. But the way we arranged it for the show is David Chase, our conductor and musical director, had the idea that the beginning was too high. I was going back to that subject of trying to speak. It was too high to sound natural, so we lowered it about a fourth. And then a few lines later, we jumped back up to the original key, and it works so well, and it just sort of naturally flows into the song the right way. And then it ends on an A flat, and, you know, big money note at the end. And it's just, you know, it's one of my favorite songs now, though. It's such a lovely song, and it just it sort of encapsulates Marion and how, you know, how she, who she is, and it makes her, you know, you understand her better, you know, where she's coming from better from the song.
When the song starts, you know, Marion's mother saying to her, you know, yes, it's about time you found a guy and nobody's of interest to you. What are you waiting for? And
she
sings this in response. This is My White Knight, Rebecca Luker singing on the new cast recording of The Music Man.
My white knight, not a Lancelot, nor an angel with wings, just someone to love me, who is not ashamed of a few nice things. My white knight, what my heart would say if it only knew how. Please, dear Venus, show me now. All I want is a plain man. All I want is a quiet man, a gentleman, a straightforward and honest man to sit with me in a cottage somewhere in the state of Iowa, and I would like him to be more interested in me than he is in himself. And more interested in us than in me. And if occasionally he'd ponder what makes Shakespeare and Beethoven great, him I could love till I die.
That's Rebecca Luker from the new cast recording of The Music Man. She and Craig Bierko will be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. The cast recording of the Broadway revival of The Music Man has just been released. My guests are the show's stars, Rebecca Luker and Craig Bierko. Craig, was there anything in your background that you felt connected to The Music Man?
My father was a traveling salesman growing up, and he had some great stories for me. And my father is a very charismatic individual. I've heard it said about my father that he could sell a drowning man water. And,
what did he sell?
Anything. He sold giftware, which basically was anything that was in front of him. But he told me a great story before I started the play that he was selling silverware. And he didn't have an office. What he would do is he would just go from town to town, and he would sit down at a table in a diner, and he would take this very flashy silverware out, and he would just start eating. And somebody would walk by and remark on the silverware, and he wouldn't play the role of a salesman. He'd just talk about how he found this silverware somewhere, and he travels with it. He prefers to eat with only this silverware. And he'd get these people all worked up about this silverware. And then give them information on who they could contact to buy it. And he sold loads of it that way. Wow. I don't have my father's talent for selling, which is why this story isn't working. But he made quite a living for himself as a salesman in his early years. And that's the way he worked. He just could connect immediately with people. And I grew up watching my father do that. And I think I don't know if it had an effect on the way I play the role.
Because he is a salesman, Professor Harold Hill. He's selling the instruments, he's selling the band costumes, and he's selling himself. And in a way, you have to sell yourself at an audition. I mean, did you learn anything from your father, think about how to sell yourself when you're auditioning?
I don't think I learned that from my father. I think I learned coming up as an actor and sort of learning how to do this awful, awful, terrible, horrible thing called auditioning.
Yeah.
The more comfortable you are with yourself, and actually the less you want something, the more appealing you come off. It's a lot like a first date. chances are it's going to lead to a second date if you don't want it too badly. Actually, that's something I hope I learn by the time I'm 40. But in terms of acting...
What about acting? That's
right. In terms of acting, I found that very much to be the case, that it's very helpful to walk into that kind of an experience, not wanting something too badly. And I think that's the way to sell somebody on something. And I think the scenes that I play in the play that are the most effective for me when he's trying to sell somebody on something, I have to play those as realistically as I can. I can't play the concept of selling something to somebody. I try not to wink at the audience too much. Mm-hmm. I try to actually convince whoever it is that I'm talking to that my lie is a truth.
Rebecca, you grew up in a small town in Alabama. Did you feel connected at all to the small town of River City in The Music Man?
Yes and no. I mean, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, but I wasn't there too many years. I moved when I was four. But actually, I moved to even a smaller town than Birmingham. So, yes, in a way, I guess I was acquainted with sort of that kind of slower life and, you know, how you know your neighbors and that sort of thing. So that was... That was a connection, yes.
How small was the town you moved to after Birmingham?
Helena, Alabama. I don't know the population, but it's small. I mean, we're talking, you know, six traffic lights or something, you know. So and it hasn't changed in 30 years, probably.
Was there any theater there?
No one from Helena is listening. No. Oh, no. There was little theater in Birmingham, so we'd go there to, if we ever did see theater, it was in Birmingham.
Was there any local entertainment?
You know, you'd go to the movies or you'd, you know, of course, my university town, Montevallo, is even further south. And I guess you could go there to see some plays and things. But we didn't, you know, church was a lot. I went there a lot to sing and be entertained.
What kind of songs did you sing in church?
Mostly, well, I grew up in the Baptist church. So we had that sort of secular, kind of popular type music. You know, Bill Gaither, if you know anything about that kind of music. Nothing classical, nothing Bach or, you know, none of the good church music. It was all sort of that contemporary religious music and hymns. We did some of the old hymns, of course.
You want to do a few bars of a hymn you sang when you were a kid?
Oh.
You don't have to.
You know, just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. You know that one?
No.
But, okay, never mind. And we'd sing.
They didn't sing that one in my synagogue.
Yeah. We'd sing about 12 verses of that while the preacher stood at the end waiting for someone to walk down the aisle and join the church and, you know, verse after verse after verse.
I can't even picture you saying the word dreidel.
Dreidel.
Okay.
There you are.
Wow. My reality is
I married a partly Jewish person, so.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Rebecca Luker and Craig Bierko star in the Broadway revival of The Music Man. They'll be back in the second half of the show. The new cast recording has just been released. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Craig Bierko and Rebecca Luker, the stars of the Broadway revival of The Music Man. The new cast recording has just been released. This is Bierko's Broadway debut. Luker starred in the recent revivals of The Sound of Music and Showboat. Now, Craig, you grew up in Westchester, and your father, in addition to being a traveling salesman, ran a community theater with your mother.
They were co-presidents for about a year and a half of the Harrison Players, which I think still exists.
Uh-huh. So were they actors, amateur actors?
They were amateur actors, yeah. I think both of them had designs in their early 20s of actually being actors. My mother not so seriously, but I think my father actually studied at the American Theater Wing for about a year. He was in James Earl Jones's class.
Really?
They did Mice and Men together, yeah.
Oh.
But I think at the Brooklyn Academy, something, I don't know, someplace. There's an article somewhere in our basement. They ran the Harrison Players for a little while, and I was in the fourth grade at the time, so that was the first time I ever stepped on stage, was when they were. But I had to audition. I had to do everything. I had to paint the scenery. I had to sell orangeade at intermission and, be a part of the whole process.
Did you love the theater as a kid?
Immediately. The very first play that they took me to, I think it was 1972 or so, it was for my brother's birthday, and we went to see the original cast of Pippin. And I didn't know what to expect. And we were eating dinner at the Howard Johnson's on Broadway right beforehand. And I just tugged on my mother's sleeve. I said, if this is really boring, can I just wait in the car? And she said, oh, I don't think you're going to find this boring. And it was Fosse, you know, with women, no clothes. I was, eight or nine, and there were churnings and things I'd never felt before. And also just I'd never seen a live production of anything before. My brother is Harold Hill and Mrs. Gober's Fifth Grade Night of Music. That's what I had seen. And it was an incredibly overwhelming experience. And yes, there was truly a sense of this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And that's never gone away. And that was at the Imperial Theater. And right now, I was walking down the street the other day with a friend of mine, and I looked over at the Imperial Theater, and there's this giant banner that says The Music Man with my name and Rebecca's name on it. And it was just one of those great moments.
What a great thing.
That's terrific. Great. Why don't we take a pause here and listen to some more music from the new cast recording of The Music Man. And Rebecca, I thought we could listen to you singing Goodnight, My Someone.
Okay.
This is a very familiar song from the show. Do you want to say anything about the song? And
I love when it comes in the show, I think you need a ballad. You know, I've often heard the audience say that by the time, Marion goes out on the porch and the moonlight, hits her and she sings this beautiful lullaby, that it's just a wonderful change to what's been happening. You know, Harold's been singing Trouble and stirring the town up, and they've had the town meeting and everything's going at full blast. You know, you get to sort of relax a little bit. There's been a lot of goings on before this happens, and it's just a lovely song that's one of my favorites.
Okay, this is Goodnight, My Someone, Rebecca Luker from the new cast recording of The Music Man.
Goodnight, my someone. Goodnight, my love. Sleep tight, my someone. Sleep tight, my love. Our star is shining, its brightest light. For goodnight, my love, for goodnight. Sweet dreams be yours, dear. To carry you close to
That's Rebecca Luker, who plays Marion, the librarian, in the new Broadway production of The Music Man. Also with us is Craig Bierko, who is Professor Harold Hill, the Music Man himself. Now, Rebecca, your first role on Broadway was in Phantom of the Opera. You were an understudy for Sarah Brightman, who is the lead, and you were also in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Did you spend a lot of time hoping that she'd get sick so that you could play the part?
No. I mean, that was a special situation, actually. We had Sarah and an alternate Christine, who was being played by Patty Cohenour. And so my chances of going on were very, very slim as the two of them, you know, sort of switched off. But after about 10 months, they just gave me a show so they could see me do it. And I suppose I was pestering them to give me one or something. I don't remember, but no, I was itching to go on. So they gave me a show, and that's how I finally got on. But it was a great place to start out, though. Even being in the ensemble, I call it Camp Phantom. I learned so much, and it was a great experience.
And you eventually got to play the lead in that show.
And eventually, yes, right after that, took over for Christine. So.
Now, Craig, this is your first Broadway show, The Music Man, but you've been in several films, a couple of which nobody has seen.
haven't.
You were in the movie Sour Grapes that Larry David, who was one of the co-creators of Seinfeld, did, and nobody saw that.
You'd think people would go see that. The man, maybe had earned a little respect for himself.
And then you were in The Long Goodnight, which was...
The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight, yeah, which a lot of people really
liked. You probably looked for the wrong movie. You were looking for The Long Goodnight. Right. That's why a lot of people don't see my movies, is they get the titles confused.
Sammy Jackson, Gina Davis were in that, too.
Yeah.
I've missed that film, but I've heard terrific things about it. So what kind of roles have you been getting in movies? What kind of type have you been cast as?
Well, thankfully, there hasn't been a type, which is nice. I kind of consider myself a character actor. That's the way I approach it.
Uh-huh.
And I've played in The Long Kiss Goodnight. I played your stock psychopath villain wearing black leather trying to kill the pretty lady who's starring in the movie person. And in Sour Grapes, I played... I don't think there is a typical Larry David character, just an unlikable guy who has issues with his mother and tries to kill her. The other movies that I did, I did a movie with Terry Gilliam called Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which was my favorite book growing up. And I played Lacerda, who was the photographer assigned to Hunter Thompson. And... that was a completely different character from anything that I'd ever played. I don't think I play a certain type. Actually, coming up through television in the early part of the 90s, I was signed to NBC, and I basically found myself getting very frustrated because they did cast me close to what I guess people think I look like, which is sort of boyish, boy next door, nice guy type person. And it was very frustrating because I found that material would always become very pale and uninteresting and thankfully wasn't picked up. And when I started taking movies a little bit more seriously and just decided that was what I wanted to aim for, I was hungry to play characters that had a little bit more variation. And I wasn't hungry so much for what's going to be the right career move, but, what's going to be interesting.
I think that's unusual about Craig because he's, you saw how handsome he is. And I think it's unusual for such a handsome leading man to be able to do character parts and be so funny. It's very unusual, I think.
I'm actually blushing on the radio. I don't know if you're getting this.
He's blushing across the table.
But the movies that I've done, the ones that nobody's seen, it's absolutely true. But the people that I got to work with, Larry David and... Terry Gilliam, Rennie Harlan, Roland Emmerich, all these people. I mean, my favorite thing about those I never go to see something that I'm in anyway. I can't do it. That's one of the reasons I'm so happy to be on stage.
Right.
I don't have to watch myself. Unless there's a scene with a mirror, but still I'll close my eyes during that. But working with those people was the really incredible thing. And I try not to pay attention to how those things do. So it's I'm actually fine with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, now that you're performing in a show every day, what's it like for you to perform the same role over and over again, which, obviously one doesn't do in a movie or TV?
I'm discovering that as we go along. You know, it's still very fresh and new for me. I mean, I'm on stage. It feels like 90% of the play I'm on stage. So there's an awful lot for me to chew on. It doesn't get boring very quickly. We've only been doing this about a little bit over 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Including previews close to three. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still at the point where I have to think constantly or I'll get thrown off. I can't really disappear. I've heard people say that after you run a play for long enough, you can kind of disappear and all of a sudden your jaw just starts moving. You're saying the words and you don't even need to think about it. You could be someplace else entirely and still turn in a reasonably good performance. In fact, people tend to get tripped up. They say down the line when they start to think about it again after coming out of that period of time of not having to think about it, it throws them off to actually concentrate. But I haven't experienced that yet. I have to work very, very hard and stay very, very focused. So the fun of the challenge of that and the scariness of the challenge of that has not gone away. It also doesn't hurt that this ensemble that Susan Stroman has put together is such a strong group of performers, but they're also such an excellent caliber of people. And they made it very clear to me during the rehearsal process and during the preview process and when we opened that this was a new experience for me. It was terrifying. And they very much let me know that they were there for me as much as they could. They decorated my dressing room. I came in one day and the entire cast had put together my dressing room for me because I just didn't have any time to think about that kind of thing. I was too busy urinating in my pants out of fear.
They did that, huh? I didn't know
they,
that.
Wow. No, I urinated in my pants. They put together my – yeah, I took care of that. But they put together my dressing room. And I could name 100 things like that that this cast continues to do for me and for Rebecca. And I feel that way towards them. And I think that leads towards a healthy company and hopefully a long run because everybody wants to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We're having
mm-hmm.
as good a time on stage, if not better, than the people are having in the audience, which is saying something because mm-hmm. people seem to be having a great time when they see this play.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Terry.
And congratulations on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Craig Bierko and Rebecca Luker star in the Broadway revival of The Music Man. The new cast recording has just been released. Coming up, preparing for the TV cameras, cell phones, pagers, and PCs at the Republican National Convention. This is Fresh Air.